Well, as we did last week, I want to begin by asking you to share with me and with others something you're thankful for. I've been asking you all month long to write down if there's anything you are thankful for, and I'm opening it up to see if anybody wants to share anything that they are thankful for this week, this month, whatever. Anybody want to share some things? Yes, Cassie? Fantastic. Tell us the age. How old, baby?
She was born 28 weeks back in July, so she's 4 months.
4 months now?
Yeah, she was due originally October 10th, so she's doing really great.
Fantastic. Sister doing all right then too?
Yep.
Fantastic. Fantastic. That's good news. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody others? Anything praise? Thank you. For the purpose of repeating it for the live stream, Becca works at the New Beginnings Pregnancy Resource Center, and thank the church for the support and the fact that now that they're open full time, the door never stops, opens and closes. So that is fantastic news. Thank you. Anybody else have anything they would like to share? Yes, Carolyn? Whoa. Yeah, and I think you hit on it, is there are so many that we could continue to make page after page after page. You know, if we were to write down all the military and all the police and all the, you know, the servants, the people who do things that we don't even know they're doing, that's fantastic. Thank you. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and get started this morning. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to give you thanks and to give you praise. And as we've already talked, there have been so many at the very beginning that we mentioned of, excuse me, of praise for what you've done. And now we just heard a few more. And I know that there are folks who would like to say something, but saying publicly is not their thing. But that's okay. As long as they are thanking you privately and remembering what you've done, that is good. As we focus on Thanksgiving and know that the holiday is this week, I pray that you'll help us to have a heart of gratitude that never stops. And as we go through the message this morning, I pray that we will see why it should never stop. And I just pray that you will open your word up to us and give us insight and understanding. I want to thank you for the folks who are here this morning, and I pray that whatever their need is, whatever is on their heart, if they're filled with rejoicing and filled with hope, I pray that you will just encourage that. If they are filled with a loss, if they are just wondering, what am I going to do next? If they're have lost hope, I just pray that in some way they'll find hope in you. And now I pray also that as I bring the message this morning, that you'll help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. We've spent the last 3 weeks, and this is the fourth week, talking about Thanksgiving or thankfulness. This Thursday, we're going to celebrate the national holiday that we call Thanksgiving. And I'm convinced that of all people, we who are Christ followers should be the most grateful people. Yet many of us will sadly get caught up in the same thing on Thursday that everybody else does. We will meet with friends and family. That's good. We'll eat gobs of food, probably too much, and that's good. We will park ourselves in front of a TV and very possibly watch game one, game two, game three, game 100 of football that happens on Thanksgiving Day. And many of us will simply while away the day just like another Pleasant Valley Sunday. But it is a day that we should remind ourselves of something much greater, and that is this, that we have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be grateful for. This morning, I want to end this series with what I consider perhaps the most important of the four sermons. Gratitude is more than words because it involves actions. And words are useless unless they lead to sharing the gifts that God has given each one of us. I'm going to take you to two scriptures this morning. And I want you to see why we should be grateful. I want you to see why it's so important that gratitude be more than just words. So with that in mind, I want to get started and just simply look, first of all, at feelings matter, so does doing. I want to state the obvious to you, and that is this, that Thanksgiving is an act of giving. Thanksgiving. It's an act of giving. It is an action. It's something we practice. We don't just feel something, it's something that we do. There's a story in the life of Jesus. So if you have a Bible or a tablet, turn to Luke chapter 17 with me if you would. There's a story, an incident in the life of Jesus that leaves us with some very valuable lessons about Thanksgiving. And just to kind of give you a little bit of background, Jesus has met 10 lepers. These lepers beg for healing. Jesus tells them to go. As they go, they are healed. Now, I don't know how they knew that, whether they felt a tingle where they didn't feel tingles before, whether they looked down and realized, hey, I can feel my toes. I'm not really sure. Maybe it was they felt a shock that they had never felt before, because you see, leprosy was such a deadly disease, it took away the feelings. By feelings, I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about the edge of your fingers and the edge of your toes. And many of them lost their fingers and toes because they did not know they had leprosy. They could not feel pain. 9 of them kept on running. 1 of them turned around. And that's where I want to pick it up at in verse 15. It says, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. So I want to take 3 lessons from this story, and then I want to show you how it compares to us. Okay, so in your bulletin, you're going to have these side by side. They're going to come up separately. So lesson number 1 is this. This man healed was a Samaritan. Now, that may not sound like much to you, but to a Jew, that was anathema. And Jesus even calls him, except this foreigner, in verse 18. And so he was a Samaritan. We are sinners. We're not Samaritans. We're not Jews. We're sinners. The second lesson I want us to see is the man healed was overwhelmed by his healing. He was so overwhelmed by what was happening to him that he turned right around and he came back to Jesus. We should be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Notice what this man did. He came and he fell on his face, at his feet, giving thanks to him. How long has it been since you fell on your face before Jesus and said, "Thank you for all that you've given to me"? We should be so overwhelmed by the goodness of God that that should be our response. The third lesson we can learn is the man healed received a greater blessing from God. Now, greater blessing, I don't mean he received a greater healing or a greater anything, but notice what it says here. And he said to him, this is verse 19, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, that's not saying that the other nine didn't receive healing, but can you imagine this man as he leaves here? He goes back and say, "Wow." And he is totally overwhelmed by the healing that God has provided for him. In fact, he is so overwhelmed, it says that when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back. And he glorified God with a loud voice. Can you imagine this? As he's running back to Jesus, he's going, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I got healed." Nah. He was glorifying God with a loud voice. And Jesus was so thrilled that he came back. He said, "You did well." We also receive a greater blessing. And by that, I don't mean receive a greater blessing of healing, or we don't receive greater blessing of money. But in the ultimate end, there are two words we want to hear. What are they? Well done. Thanksgiving is not a feeling like someone gets from a high. It's not a feeling that you get from a high from alcohol or drugs or even from the W in the winning score. Thanksgiving is expressed. Gratitude is not just a behavior. It's a lifespan. It's an action that we can do. Being blessed is passive. Being thankful is active. Now let me explain that. You can sit like a bump on a log and be blessed. Every morning you get up, you see the sunrise. Every morning or every evening you go to bed, you see the sunset. All day long you receive God's blessings and you do absolutely nothing for it, did you? You woke up in the morning and you saw the sunrise. You can't say, "Okay, sun, get up quicker. Come on, I'm ready for the sun." It doesn't work that way. You receive that blessing from God. It is passive. Being thankful is active. It's where you say what you need to say. You express what you need to express. Because you see, you have no control over the blessing. You should not have any control over your thanksgiving. You should just be flowing out of you like water. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about more doing and less talk. It does us good to give thanks. It benefits us, but it also benefits those around us. When we express our thanksgiving to somebody, it changes their life. Let me put it this way. You and I have no clue the difference we make in a person's life by expressing thanksgiving. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to you about how Joe and I blessed a waitress. We thanked her for serving us. We thanked her for just working. She smiled. She got real big, you know, big face. We could have ruined that whole thing by being stupid. by acting weird, by going up to her and saying, well, how do you feel? Did we bless you? Not only is that weird, and some people question that about me anyway, I would have robbed her joy, and I would have robbed our joy of doing that. You see, thankfulness involves more than doing, and it involves more doing and less talk. Talk is cheap, and it costs nothing. Being grateful as a result of being obedient does cost something. We have to understand that there is a cost to being thankful when you're being obedient. Go with me, if you would, now to James chapter 2. And you're going to go there. If you've never been there before, you'll go there and you'll say, well, what in the world does that have anything at all to do with Thanksgiving? James is writing, and the first part of that is the first 13 verses. James is concerned about the church. And what happens is when people come into the church who are people of influence, let's call them that, the church was saying, hey, come on up front. But then someone would come in who didn't have the influence, and they'd say, oh, you sit back there. That'd be like us. Let's suppose that somebody from our community came who is in high standing, whatever you want to call it, and we would take them and say, come. Well, they don't want to sit up front, so come to a special seat, and we give them a special seat. But then a homeless person who stinks comes in, and we say, oh, we can't sit them among the rest of us, stay in the back. That's what was happening in the early church. And James was saying, no, that's not supposed to happen. You see, partiality is not being thankful for what you have. Now, let's continue on, though, because I want you to pick it up in verse 14 with me. After that story, and I capsulize the first 13 verses, James says, what use is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, yet you don't give him what he needs for his body, what use is that? Paul and James are not at odds. Martin Luther once called the book of James a book of straw, because Paul talks about being saved by grace without works. James is saying, now that you are saved, you work. You show your faith by what you do. Well, the point that he's making here is, what good is it if someone comes to you and says, I'm hungry, and you say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Hope you find bread. Or what good is it if someone comes to you and says, oh, man, I'm just cold and shivering, and you say, oh, I hope you get a coat to be warm when you have a coat sitting at home. You see, James is saying if you have those things, then you should be the person who reaches out to them, because that is gratitude. People need to hear words of gratitude. People need physical things. If they need to hear words, we give them words. If they need to have physical things, if they need food or they need clothing or even a place to stay, we do what we can to make that happen. You see, a grateful outlook doesn't just happen. Giving thanks for what God has given you transforms your heart. And then rubs off on other people. I wrote this down so that I would not forget it. It is not natural for self-absorbed, self-preoccupied, rights-demanding, what's-in-it-for-me sinners to give things away, especially gratitude. But you see what happens is when you give gratitude and you give it away to somebody, you get your eyes off yourself. How many times have you been miserable? Don't answer that. How many times have you been miserable, but then you remember how good God has been to you, or how good people have been to you, and all of a sudden it changes your whole perspective. And then what happens is you end up sharing that with others, and it changes their heart as well. James is not done, by the way, because he goes on in verse 17 and says, in the same way, faith also, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Faith without works is dead. And folks, I'm going to go out on a limb here. We cannot claim to be Christ followers and keep gratitude to ourselves. We follow with word and deed. And here's what I want you to see. Gratitude should never be a chore. It's an expression of the heart's delight. If we are grateful, we need to express that. We need to express that to physically. We need to express that by words. We need to thank God for what He's done for us and for His grace. But when we tell others, we change their hearts as well. When we give something for somebody else and we give up, or it gives us the opportunity, it gives us the opportunity to express verbally or actively what God has done for us. James says, we give honor to the one who is the author of every good and perfect gift. A useless faith is one kept to oneself. A vital working faith is one that is shared and works for the good of others. You see, in Lamentations chapter 3, it tells us that God's grace and His mercies are new every morning. So when you wake up in the morning and it's a new day, it's new grace and new mercies. And what He wants us to do is not to keep that to ourselves. We need to be making sure other people are hearing about the mercies of God and the grace of God each day. Now you say, well, I don't really have much of a chance to say those words. How about just your attitude? How about just being kind to people? There are so many people who are miserable because they don't know what it means to have people be nice to them. And I realize that there are some people that you really want to string up. You know, you want to say, why don't you lighten up, dude? You know, but you know what? I've noticed that if you take the time to be thankful to them, grateful to them, express concern to them, express gratitude for something they may have done, or express a grace to them, it changes them. And that's what God wants us to do. So here's my proposition for this week and on. Let's have a love affair with Thanksgiving. I don't mean Thanksgiving Day. Let's have a love affair with Thanksgiving. Let's have a love affair with the whole idea of being thankful for what's been given to us. Let's take time on Thanksgiving morning. Instead of gathered around the table, just quickly start to eat and then pass out because we had too much turkey, you know. Let's stop and pause as a family, as friends, and say, what are you thankful for? What are you grateful for? It's going to change the whole tone of your meal. It changes the whole tone of your family. And it's going to change the whole tone of your day. So let's have a love affair with Thanksgiving. Let's fall in love with the whole idea. Not Thanksgiving, the holiday. Let's fall in love with Thanksgiving. I want to challenge you to do that this year. Not hard. Just take some time to be grateful for what you have. And above everything else, we have one special gift to be thankful for. That over 2,000 years ago, someone went to a cross and he died in our place. No greater act of thanksgiving can be said. For the love that was shown, the grace that was expressed, and this unexpressible gift of love, or inexpressible gift of love, a love that cannot be denied. So, on your Thanksgiving day, don't forget to thank the one person who gave you everything, but most important, who has given you salvation. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to get that settled. Don't keep putting off being grateful for what Jesus has done for you, because that is the greatest gift possible. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. A love that is inexpressible. A grace that continues to go on and on and on. And as Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations, where your grace is new and your mercies are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to not forget that this year. Not to forget that grace, that mercy that has been shown to us. And as we sit down at our tables and we have food and we have family and we have friends that you have blessed us with, help us to be grateful and not to take any of that for granted. We live in a country where we have been blessed so far beyond our greatest imaginations. There are people in other countries who will not be able to grab barely a bite to eat, and yet we sit with full tables. Help us not forget to be thankful for what you've given to us. And above everything else, help us to share the love of Jesus and the grace and the mercy that you have given to us with other people. And help us to look for people who need a word of kindness, who need an act of kindness, and help us to be the person who meets it. So thank you, Father, for loving us. As we go through this week, use us and help us to keep our eyes peeled for people who need love. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for joining us online. Appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving. If you want to come down and hang out on Thursday, you're welcome to come and hang out on Thursday. We always have a lot of fun, and we might put you to work. So we'll see you. Have a great week.